Good morning, or good afternoon, or wherever you are when you listen to this. Will you turn to 1 Peter 2, please? How do we talk about our government? How do we talk about our government? People have been talking about government as long as I have been alive, and it started long before that. It picked up a few years ago around us because of a controversial president in the USA, and it has increased again because of COVID-19. This is a delicate topic, I know that. That's all the more reason to make sure we know what God has said to us. I'm preaching to myself. I'm working hard not to do opinions and just say what's pretty clear in the scripture. And I have fallen short of these scriptures many times recently myself. I'm not a model here. 1 Peter 2. Who we are and where we are. 1 Peter 2, 9. 2:11, and then 5:13. 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. 2:11. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Chapter 5, verse 13. The church in Babylon, chosen with you, sends you greetings. The church in Babylon, chosen with you, sends you greetings. Who are we? We who have put our trust in Christ and call him, we are those who have put our trust in Christ and we call him Lord. So we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's special possession. We are a very special bunch of people. Also that we can declare God's praises. That is who we are. Where are we? We are foreigners and exiles in Babylon. Peter wrote from Rome. He was in Rome at this time, but he calls Rome Babylon. Babylon is the biblical symbol of humans organized against God. Genesis 11 tells us about the Tower of Babel, but in Hebrew, it's Babylon. It's the Tower of Babel. Babylon, not Babel. I do not know why it is always translated Babel. We are foreigners and exiles in Babylon. From Genesis to Revelation, Babylon is humans planning together against God. It is an evil city. It is an idolatrous and arrogant and a bloodthirsty city. Peter wrote this letter to several provinces of the Roman Empire, and Peter says exactly one word about the government. The church in Babylon greets you. That's it. So we are God's chosen nation. We're a holy nation, and spiritually speaking, we are all foreigners and exiles in Babylon. That's who they were and where they were. It is who we are and where we are. And the basic instructions are submit to Babylon and honor the emperor. 1 Peter 2, 11 to 17. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So we are God's chosen people, his special possession, and God cares intensely how his enemies see us. God knows they will attack us, whether we do right or wrong. But God wants to have a conversation with them at the end. And God wants to say to them, were my people not honest, hardworking, kind? Were they not cooperative and generous? Did they give you any good reason to attack them? And on that day, God's enemies will have to say, God, you are right. They were good people. They gave us no reason to attack them like we did. And that conversation between God and his enemies is an Old Testament theme and a New Testament theme. So we, you and I, live now so that God can speak like that to his enemies at the end of time. We live so that God can truthfully say that about us, so that they will glorify God on the day he visits us, even though now they're accusing us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, says Peter, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him. So, we are foreigners and exiles in Babylon, and we are submitting for the Lord's sake to Babylon's emperor and to the governors he sends. It is God's will that by doing good you would silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. And how do we do that? Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. This instruction begins with submit, and it ends with honor. Submit to the emperor of Babylon and honor the emperor of Babylon. And we do this because of the Lord, because it is the will of God, because we are slaves of God. God says, submit to them and honor them. Abstain from sinful desires which war against the soul, says Peter. What sinful desires does Peter have in mind? He tells us. Our urge not to submit to human authority, not to honor the emperor of Babylon. That's the Apostle Peter writing from what he calls Babylon. Peter is not worried about his people compromising with the government. He's worried about us compromising with our sinful desires. In Acts 4, this same Peter said, we must obey God rather than men. I like that line, because I like to have God's support when I disobey authorities, when I don't submit. But notice, that was Acts 4. In Acts 1, Jesus showed himself to the 11 disciples many times, proving beyond doubt that he was alive from the dead. And also in Acts 1, Jesus told the 11 that they must announce his resurrection to the world. Jesus did not say that to the 120 followers who were also in Jerusalem in those days. He didn't show himself as much to the 120, and he didn't command them. That was just for the 11. And in Acts 4, the Jewish leaders told these apostles not to speak openly about the death and resurrection of Jesus anymore. And at that point, Peter said, we must obey God rather than men. So there are two things that no Christian must ever do. We must never worship another God, and we must never deny Jesus the Lord. But outside of that, Peter's pretty clear. Cooperate with Babylon. Submit to Babylon. Honor the emperor of Babylon because it is the will of God and we are God's slaves. So, we will not be surprised when our government acts like Babylon. Actually, in many ways, our government is a lot better than Babylon, and for that we will thank God. Vaccination. People avoid vaccination for many reasons. Here's one reason we should not use. Let's not avoid vaccination because doing just what the government wants will offend God. Let's not avoid vaccination because doing just what the government wants will offend God. That does not offend God. God says to us, you are my slaves. You answer to me. It is my will that you submit to the authorities and honor the emperor of Babylon. I find this stark and surprising and uncomfortable. And often enough, I myself have not lived according to God's will here. But that is what it says. So let's be God's slaves. The silent example of Christ, 1 Peter 2:21. And now we'll get to the real point, which is how do we actually talk about government? 1 Peter 2:21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not return insult. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. The Gospels give us detailed stories of our Lord's arrest and trial and crucifixion. And one of the reasons they give us so much detail is so that we who follow Christ will learn how to act when things like that happen to us. God calls us to this very thing, to suffer as Christ did and to follow his example when we suffer as he suffered. And here's Peter's point. Nothing bad came out of the Lord's mouth. They insulted him, but he said nothing in return. They caused all kinds of pain, but nothing dark came out of his mouth. God calls us to follow this example. Isaiah 53:7 says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. I always thought this silence meant that when they beat Christ and whipped him, he did not cry out. And when they pounded nails through him, there was no scream of pain. I believe I heard it preached that way. But that's not what Peter says. Peter says it means Jesus never complained or grumbled. He never condemned or judged or swore at his tormentors. He was silent. No bad words. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was silent. What did he do instead? He entrusted himself to him who judges righteously. He put himself in the hands of his faithful Father. And that's our example. Did Jesus always live like this? There are some times when it seems like he did not. What about Jesus clearing the temple? In Matthew 21, we read that Jesus chased out those who were in the temple area, selling and buying sacrifices for Passover. He turned over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those who sold doves, and he told them the temple was supposed to be a house of prayer, not a hideout for thieves. And in Matthew 23, the Lord spoke at length against the scribes and Pharisees, showing why they were not good spiritual leaders and why God's judgment would come on them. So here are two things to remember about these two stories, the clearing of the temple and the condemning of scribes and Pharisees. One, both of these are unusual behavior for Jesus. If we use Jesus as our example, actions like this will be totally out of character for us. Two, in neither case was Jesus acting or speaking against the government. In both cases, Jesus went after the spiritual leaders and teachers. People went to the temple to worship God. The priests had allowed the buying and selling to corrupt the worship of God. So on one occasion, Jesus completely interrupted their buying and selling, and he told them why. If you think your church has corrupt worship, once in a great while, you could get up and tip over the music stand. Come and take the sermon manuscript out of my hand and throw it on the floor. Stand up and condemn the elders of the church for serving themselves and not God. That would be the equivalent, as long as it was rare for you. That's about spiritual leaders. Jesus did not talk about government. Herod arrested John the Baptist, Herod the king, and later executed John. Jesus said nothing, and he did nothing. Jesus said false prophets were vicious wolves, speaking of church leaders. Once Jesus called Herod a fox. One word, an ambiguous word, and that's it. He called Herod a pest. In Luke 13, we read about the brutality of Pilate, the Roman governor. Jesus knew about that. Jesus said nothing about the Roman governor Pilate. Jesus said nothing about the Roman occupying army, which was everywhere, except he said, pay your taxes to Rome. During Jesus' trial, Pilate sent Jesus to Herod. Herod was curious about Jesus. He asked Jesus many questions. That would have been a good time for Jesus to preach at Herod, don't you think? Jesus never said one word to Herod. He did not open his mouth. So Herod's soldiers beat him and humiliated him and sent him back to Pilate. How did Jesus usually speak to scribes and Pharisees? In Mark 3, we read that the leaders were watching to see if Jesus would heal a man with a withered arm on the Sabbath. And Jesus tried to reason with them ahead of time. He knew what they were watching for. He said, on the Sabbath, is it lawful to do good or evil? To save life or destroy it? But they were silent. And Jesus looked at him. He looked at them, and Scripture tells us he was furious with them. And he was distressed at their hardness of heart. And then Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he healed him. And that's the end of the story. Jesus said nothing to his enemies. Occasionally he called them hypocrites, and sometimes he was very gracious. The Matthew 23 speech against the scribes and Pharisees was rare for Jesus. How did Jesus usually act in the temple? In Matthew 26:55, we get the answer in one line. The evening when Jesus was praying in Gethsemane, Judas brought a crowd armed with swords and clubs to arrest Jesus. And Jesus said to them, every day I sat teaching in the temple, and you come to me at night with swords and clubs? What had Jesus been doing all week? Sitting and teaching. That's what he'd been doing all week in the temple. And then Jesus said that Scripture predicted he would be treated in just this way, which means it was the Father's will. My brothers and sisters, it's not about the corrupt authorities. They were corrupt, and sometimes they still are. Jesus made it about God. It's about God. It's about the will of God. Be careful how we speak. Jesus said, don't condemn, so you won't be condemned. The way you judge, you will be judged. The measure you use will be the measure you get. Peter's last word, repay evil with blessing to inherit a blessing. Do not repay evil with evil. I'm 1 Peter 3:9. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. So, evil and insult will come. That is a given. And God calls us to repay evil with blessing so that we will inherit God's blessing. And Peter quotes Psalm 34 for support. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. So be it. Let's put ourselves in the hands of our faithful Creator, and let's continue to do good. Amen. Let's pray. O God, the Scripture tells us to pray for our leaders, and so we pray for them. Watch over our leaders and keep them safe. guard them against the attacks that come against them, all kinds of attacks every day. Guide their minds and their consciences so they will know what is right to do, and give them the courage to do, Father, what they know is right. Help them to get along with each other. Bless them and be gracious to them. Thank you that we have government to keep order, Father, and to protect us. It would be very bad for us if they all walked off the job. And thank you for the freedoms we have always had in this country. And one more thing. Help us with our tongues, O God. Help us control our mouths. May we respond with kindness and blessing. And if not that, then at least silence. Amen. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? Grace and peace to you all, from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the sevenfold Spirit before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.